Welcome to the Community Fellowship Podcast, your way to stay connected with biblically themed messages, discussions, and interviews from Community Fellowship in East Barnard, Texas. Learn more about our church at the cfeb.church website, check us out on social media at CF East Barnard, or attend an in-person service at 635 Main Street in East Barnard. We are a local church that works to make the love of Christ for all humanity known to our community and the world. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy this week's content.
Well, this last Friday we hosted our second ever date night. We had a really good time. But the goal of that date night has always been kind of the same thing, is that we're hoping that we can make an investment in the marriages within our church by giving couples just some time to slow down, to pause, and to have some conversations about things that maybe they don't normally have conversations about. Well, this last Friday, our guest speakers, Steve and Tamber Jones, they did an incredible job of walking us through the end of Ephesians, actually the chapter right after where our message series has been these last 2 weeks, chapter 6, which goes into spiritual warfare. And so they walked through us this idea that sometimes our fights within our marriage aren't necessarily about a lack of intimacy or a lack of communication, but by seeing beyond what is right in front of us and recognizing there's actually an enemy who is attacking our marriages. There's an enemy who wants to go after our marriages. And it makes sense if you think about it. Steve said this on Friday, that the very first attack against anyone within the scriptures was against the marriage. The enemy wants to break that up. And there's really good reason. I mean, if you think about it, what does God himself use as an illustration to help us understand our relationship with him? Marriage. He's the groom. We're the bride. So it makes sense that the enemy would want to go after and attack that very institution because it's that important to God. Well, this morning, as we are going to look at this passage, it's caused a lot of division already within the church. Not our church, but the church as a whole. And so what I'm hoping for and I'm praying for is that we can approach it with some humility together this morning. That we can approach it, and as we look at the other side of the us, again, we talked about men last week and husband's role. As we talk about the wife's role within the marriage, that again, we'll kind of approach it with this humility and this tenderness. And that my deepest prayer is that God's Spirit would move us to help us understand the mission that he has for our marriages. So if you have your Bible with you this morning, would you turn with me back to Ephesians chapter 5? Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to begin reading in verse 21.
Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives submit to their husbands in everything.
Thank you, sir. Okay, so we saw this last week that Paul's letter here to the Ephesians is to a group of people that he deeply, deeply cared about because he had spent time pastoring and equipping them. But not only that, when we first saw this, we realized that Paul leaves his friends, Aquila and Priscilla, a married couple. He leaves them there to help shepherd the church on his second missionary journey. And then he comes back on his third missionary journey and he spends considerable time with them. He spends 3 years with this church. It's kind of uncharacteristic, actually, of Paul to spend that kind of amount of time. And we talked about this last week, that when he eventually does leave, he's in tears because he's grown to love these people so dearly. He loves them that much. But he also does something incredible as well. He leaves Timothy, his young son in the faith, his protege, to actually continue shepherding the church. So it's clear that he has a tremendous amount of respect and a deep, deep love for each of these people in the church in Ephesus. He's invested in them, not only with his own presence, but even the people that he's selected to actually shepherd them in his absence. So as we talk about his instruction to wives. I want you to kind of keep that in the back of your mind, that this is from a pastor who deeply loves this church. Now, also remember that as we kind of talk through this section, this last three chapters of Ephesians, it is all about how to live out the gospel within your relationships. We talked about this last week, that it's this idea that we are trying to help people understand that they are reconciled to God because of what Christ has done. And we demonstrate that through our earthly relationships. Again, there's three of them that Paul gives us there at the end of Ephesians. But we've been primarily looking at the one about marriage. But it's understanding that because I've been reconciled to Christ, now the goal and the mission that I'm on is that others would be reconciled to him as well. Now, I want to say this from the onset here, okay? Because like I mentioned a minute ago, in church history, we've done a poor job with this passage. We've kind of used it in really negative ways. And if you looked at the whole of church history, it's actually been used as a weapon, I think, against women, silencing their voice within the church and their voice within their marriage. It's almost like it's kind of used as the mic drop to say, hey, woman, get in your place, right? And what I want to say this morning to all the women in here, please hear me. I'm going to tell you exactly where your place is, both within the church and within your marriage relationship. It is right beside the men in this room. Right beside the men in this room. Okay? You're not underneath them. You're right beside them. So I want to make sure that we understand that as we continue in to this message. Because nowhere in the scripture does it ever teach that a woman is less than a man. In fact, the very first word used to describe women in all of the scriptures is the Hebrew word azer. In Genesis 2:18, it says this, "The Lord God said, 'It's not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper, an azer, suitable for him.'" So check this out. Through everything that's been made by God, in all of creation, he looks and nothing is suitable. Nothing is good enough to be the helper, to be a helpmate to man. So God specifically creates woman. He pulls this part out of Adam, which the word there in Hebrew is actually a nature, not a rib, but a nature out of Adam, his side, right? Pulls that out of him and creates this woman. Now, this word is super cool, azer, again, because it's used about 20 times in the Old Testament. Four times it's used about a nation coming to aid another nation in battle. Two times specifically about woman and her relationship to man. But catch this, 14 times to talk about God as a rescuer, as a help, as a strength to his people. So women, wives, catch this. You are described as, in a word, the same word that God uses of himself. That's how highly God looks at women. That's how highly he values you as a woman. You are not created to be ruled over by men. You were created to be his helper, his equal, his companion. And husbands, listen, as your azer, your wife is supposed to be brought close to your side as an esteemed equal and near to your heart as the loved and cherished strength that she is to you. That's key. Now that said, let's kind of dive into this passage, okay? Because again, that's a lot. So let's see what Paul is saying about the role of wives in their Christian marriage. Remember, we rephrased this, and we've kind of been talking about it even this morning, about how this every Christian couple in this room, that you are called on mission together. When you got married, you were called on mission together by God. He has a distinct purpose for your marriage. And unfortunately, so many couples do not recognize this. They don't stop to talk about it. They don't stop to understand it. They just kind of keep on going with the motions. But God has given each of you, husbands and wives, he has given each of you gifts that he wants you to use. And the goal that you have is to prayerfully understand and discern how those gifts complement one another and how they're supposed to be used for his glory. That's what it means to be a married couple, to recognize how God has put you together, how he's gifted you. Just a little side. Emily is administrative. She has administrative gifts that I do not have. I'm kind of the big picture guy. I'm the vision guy. I know where I want to go. She's the one who says, boom, 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 and boom. This is how it needs to get. We learned that really quickly, and we say this all the time. We're a really great team together, a really great team, because we recognize that in one another. So for each couple in here, maybe that's a conversation you need to have. Stop and ask, hey, what are the gifts that we each have? How do those complement one another? How can we use those for God's glory? So Paul begins his instruction to the wives, and he says this, wives, submit yourself to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. Wives, submit yourselves. Now, there are a few things that we need to be aware of as we kind of look at this instruction from Paul. First, in the verse immediately preceding this one, okay, before he addresses wives, he addresses the entire church, and he says, submit to each other. So the entire church is supposed to be submitting to each other. In fact, the word submit isn't even found in verse 22. It's carried over from the preceding verse. He's using to infer to women to submit to their husbands from the preceding verse that all people, all the church, is supposed to submit to each other. And this Greek word submit, it's a military term. It can literally be translated to place or rank under. The idea that it conveys is that when a soldier was in battle, that he submitted himself to his commanding officer. And he did this, of course, for the sake of the mission, for the sake of the battle. It wasn't that that soldier was less significant in his worth or value to anybody else on the battlefield. No, he submitted himself in recognition that as a team, his company needed to follow the instructions of their commander. Because he was the one responsible for the strategy on how they were going to be victorious in that battle. Could you imagine if a soldier was on the battlefield and he decided, you know what? I'm not going to take orders from my commanding officer. I'm going to do whatever I want, whatever I think is right in the moment. It'd be chaos. Now imagine every soldier doing that. There's not going to be victory. Because you've lost sight of the strategy for how to win that victory. Here's the difficulty, though. In our culture, that's our mindset. That's our mantra, right? I'm going to do whatever I want to do. I'm going to do whatever I want to do, and I'm going to do whatever I can to get what I want. Even if I have to take it, I'm going to get it. There's no one that's a boss of me. I'm my own boss. You know what the problem is with that desire for such fierce individuality? Is that in seeking freedom from others, you often get it. You often get it. And unfortunately, when independence is what you desire the most, and listen, I understand because we are Americans, and that is like so much of who we are. But when you desire that most, you often find yourself not just free from others, but you find yourself alone. But that wasn't God's original plan for marriage, and it's not God's original plan for the church. We aren't supposed to be isolated. We aren't supposed to be alone. So instead of wanting control, the soldier should listen to his commanding officer. He should submit himself to his commanding officer because he still has a distinct role to play for the company to be victorious. He still has a very distinct role to play. And here in Ephesians, speaking over both the church and wives, as Paul addresses there in verse 21 and 22, this is also the case. We are called to subject ourselves to one another, to place ourselves underneath one another for the sake of the mission, for the sake of the mission that the gospel would be heard by every person on the face of this planet. For those of us within the church, it's to submit ourselves to the elders and to one another. For wives, it's for you to submit yourself to the leadership of your husband. Again, for the sake of the mission. Because when we do that, what we do is we demonstrate the love of Jesus, who humbled himself on our behalf, who lowered himself on our behalf, so that we might be in his family. Now, wives, this is the background that we're kind of calling you to submit to your husbands. Again, it's not out of being inferior. In fact, the English word even does a really good job with this. The word that we use to translate Paul's Greek word here, submit, right, is a compound word. And it means a letting down, lowering, or dropping. So think about this for a second, ladies. You can't lower yourself unless you're already at the same level with that person, right? So again, it has nothing to do with you being less than. You're not less than your husband. You're not less than the men around you, right? But the key is who is the one who's been given the responsibility for leading? Because someone will ultimately take responsibility, and husbands, the truth is, you are going to take responsibility for your marriage, whether here or when you see Jesus. You are responsible for your marriage. Okay? Wives, that's something that's not a burden you have to bear. That's for him. And you know what? I think that if every married couple in this church, if we would do that, if we would live out these roles that we see in Ephesians 5, husbands loving and serving their wives like Christ loved and served the church, wives submitting to their husbands, you know what we would see? We would see a lost world come to know Jesus. That's why I prayed that earlier. Because if we example that in our marriage, people would want to know why our marriages are so different and so distinct. They would take notice. Now, here's the huge key with verse 22. When we talk to wives about submitting to their husbands, check this out. Wives, out of reverence for Christ. That's verse 21. Verse 22, it says, as to the Lord, but I want you to catch that. Submit yourself to your husband. So hear that. First and foremost, the reason you don't resist submitting to your husband is because it's not really to his leadership that you're submitting. You're ultimately submitting yourself to Christ. You're submitting yourself to him. Now, wives, I want you to ask this question of yourself. How are you showing reverence to Jesus? How are you showing reverence to Jesus? Are you honoring him first and foremost as Lord over your life? Is he Lord? Are you still kind of doing whatever you want to do? You're gathering together with God's people, but then the rest of the week, I'm just going to call the shots for myself. How are you submitting to Jesus first? Because maybe the reason you have a difficult time thinking about submitting to your husband is because you're not submitting to Jesus. When a wife chooses to willingly submit herself underneath the leadership of her husband, not only is the world going to take notice of that, because it's unique, it's different, but she's actually modeling to the other women in the church what it means to be in submission to Jesus. That's what she does. So wives, as part of living on mission with your husbands, God is calling you to submit yourself to him out of reverence for Christ. Now, before I kind of move on to this next point, I want to make sure that I clarify something about what Paul is saying here in submission. Because he's not teaching just blind or unqualified or no exceptions submission. That's not what he's saying, okay? Submission to any authority should not be at the expense of the spiritual, physical, and emotional well-being of any individual. Because here's the thing. That authority has been given a command by God to rule justly, kindly, and compassionately. And when it doesn't, God will be the judge of them. God will bring justice. So last week, we talked about this role that husbands play in leading their wives spiritually. We said that they're called to help them grow in holiness. And we said that it happens when that husband points their wives back to what the scripture says over all the areas of their life, that everything should be coming underneath the lordship of Jesus. And so they point back to the scriptures to say, how does this honor Jesus with our life? So, with that reminder and kind of what we're talking about this morning is wives submitting to their husbands, I want to give you a practical example of how Ephesians 5, if they're both accepting their roles, how that kind of plays out in everyday life, okay? So let's say that you're both sitting down after a long day, you've put the kids to bed, and you're like, hey, to kind of relax and wind down, let's watch something, okay? Now, as in every family, the wife should be given the remote, okay? So she has it. Guys, I'm just causing less heartache for you, okay? Just give her the remote, all right? And let's say she goes through and she's finding something. She finds something y'all both kind of agree on. And you're like, okay, that sounds good. That looks good, right? But as you're watching it, language is just pretty prolific. and then the sexual innuendos and stuff that's going on, you know, the husband begins to feel uncomfortable, right? He's like, hey, I really think that we should watch something else. Can we watch something else? As a wife, you say, of course. You recognize, hey, he's trying to guard our purity. He's trying to make sure that we're not taking in stuff that's filthy, right? That he recognizes the truth of what Scripture says in Philippians, that it should always be things that are good and pure and lovely and noble. These are the things that we're supposed to be taking in. Okay? And so she says, okay, absolutely. Now, guys, let me just stop and talk about this for a second. This is just an aside. But that illustration, even though it's an illustration, come on, that's pretty much like every day of our lives, right? I mean, we almost do that every single evening. And here's my prayer for you, that you would think about that. What is the media your family consumes? Because it is really easy for us to become desensitized to the things that do not honor God. So you need to be careful about what you're taking in. Okay, so you see how that worked, though? You have a husband who's leading his wife spiritually. He's guarding their purity, what they consume in their minds. And he's pointing and thinking about the Scriptures. Like I said, that Philippians 4 passage. He's thinking about the Scriptures the whole time. And then you have a wife who graciously submits to her husband, recognizing that he's trying to guard their purity. But wives, here's the clincher. You have to make that choice. You have to make that choice. No one can make you submit to your husband. Even in the passage, that's what Paul says. Submit yourselves, wives. He didn't say, husbands, go make your wife submit. Submit yourselves to your husbands. Listen, there are plenty of men who have tried to do that at their own peril. But wives, you have to make that choice. Remember how we defined submission earlier? A lowering of oneself. You have to be the one who does that, to humble yourself. And I know sometimes he doesn't deserve that. I get that. I've been there. I've been that kind of husband that did not deserve her submission to me. I get it. Maybe he said something mean. Maybe he didn't say something. Maybe he didn't meet your needs. I understand. But you still have a choice. You still have a choice whether or not you are going to submit to him. In his book, Love and Respect, Pastor Emerson Eggerich, he addresses what he calls the crazy cycle. He says this, that a wife's greatest need is love. And a husband's greatest need is respect. But unfortunately, when that need isn't met in either spouse, the other will generally act in the negative to the other one's needs. Okay, so it kind of works like this. So if a woman feels unloved, she'll act in disrespectful ways to her husband. It sometimes comes out in criticism, right? And nothing makes a man feel more disrespected than criticism. And I'm going to be straight up with you, ladies. We have very fragile egos. We're very sensitive. We try to put on a tough exterior, but we're really sensitive. And the reason that is because there is no one in the world that a man desires more than anything to be respected by than his wife. He absolutely wants to be respected by her. I would throw everyone else aside to know that Emily respects me. I mean that. And I think every husband in here, when we really get down to it, that's the truth for them as well. So there's this horrible cycle. Because when he's disrespected, then he's not going to give love. He chooses not to love. It's a horrible cycle. But here's the thing. Wives, undeniably, when you choose to submit yourself to your husband, even when he doesn't deserve it, when you choose to submit instead of reacting in belittling ways, I promise you, he feels respected and he notices that. So the second reason a wife should submit to her husband is that when she does, she's not only submitting out of reverence for Christ, but she's also choosing to respect her husband. And wives, just to let you know, we light up when you do that. We absolutely light up when you do that. See, this is the kind of marriage that every Christian couple should strive for, a marriage where each person is centered on Christ. Single guys that are in church today, single ladies that are in the church, this is the kind of character that you should look for in the person that you want to date. Does he sacrificially serve other people? Does she willingly submit herself to others? There's one last thing I want to speak into. wives here in the room who maybe have a husband who doesn't believe. The scripture actually gives you very clearly some guidelines. I'm going to read straight from 1 Peter 3. Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. So you're still called to submit to your husband for the purpose that he might come to faith in Jesus because of your godly behavior, the way you behave in your marriage. And even as Peter gives this encouragement to these wives, here's what's crazy. He frames it, as we always should, within the mission, the bigger mission of what we're called to. This life is temporary. It's not going to be forever. And our goal shouldn't be about pleasing ourselves. It's not about pleasing ourselves. It is about absolutely honoring Jesus with every aspect of our lives. And this morning, maybe that's where you realize that you're at. You're still trying to please yourself, even within your marriage. You're trying to use your marriage as a way to please yourself, to get what you want. You've been trying just for yourself. But here's the thing. It's hard to live for something that's so small. When you are living for yourself, you're living for a mission that's way too small. Because your life is fleeting. It's here today. It's gone tomorrow. The scripture never even promises us tomorrow. You don't know. And I pray that you would choose to live for something bigger than yourself. And this morning, if you've never trusted in what Jesus has done for you, his sacrificial death on the cross to clean your sins, to wipe them away, to make you a new person, then I pray that this morning that you would do that. Pastor Ronald, Pastor Philip, or myself, we will be here to talk with in a minute if that's a decision that you need to make. Now, ladies, last week we closed the message and we gave the guys some simple steps, some simple questions even, right? As they were kind of using the map of Scripture to help them as husbands. And I hope that each of the husbands was able to take some time to do that this week, that they asked those questions of you this week. But we all know that women are much better at asking for directions, right? You're much better at asking for directions. So I'm going to make mine simple for you, okay? I'm just going to give you two questions that you just ask some time during the week. Not every day, just once during the week, okay? So here's the two questions. The first one is this. Is there an area in our marriage that you feel I've resisted submitting to your leadership in? Is there an area in our marriage that you feel I've resisted submitting to your leadership in? Number two, what are some things I can do to regularly show you just how satisfied I am with you as my husband and the leader of our home? Those two questions, sometime during this week, let him answer them. Listen to him. Hear him. Hear him. Church, my goal and my heart in this message has been one thing. Again, that we would recognize the mission of marriage. It's not about you. It is about Jesus. How does your marriage honor Jesus Christ? That is the goal. Let me pray to us. Pray for us to that end. Father, this morning, I do pray that for every single couple in here. Again, that we would recognize that our marriage isn't about us. Maybe that's why we got married. Maybe it was to satisfy ourselves, but Father, I pray more than anything, you would help us to recognize that our marriages are little pictures of our relationship with you. God, that we would want them to honor you. So for every couple in here, God, that they would take the time to discuss, God, what is the mission that they've been called to together? How are they using their gifts with one another to accomplish that mission? Father, give them the time to set aside just to talk about that. And most importantly, Father, that you would use the couples in this church to bring others to Jesus. That's our prayer. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand as we close together. Thank you.
If you have questions about this week's message or would like to start a conversation with someone about what it means to walk with Christ, please email pastor@cfeb.church. You can find earlier episodes of our podcast on our website at cfeb.church, where you can also give online to help support Community Fellowship in our mission to reflect and share Christ's love. We can also be found on many major distribution platforms like Apple Podcasts, where you can subscribe to stay connected. Thank you again for listening. Now go out and love one another like Jesus did.